Thank you, Jim. We're trying to cover too much material in a short time, as you all know. But we hope that what we share with you will be something that you can take and build on. And Jim's insights are so helpful. He's been a wonderful counselor and a teacher as well of prayer partners that Jim's brings in. I want to add a few things about the next subject. It's the next page in your notes, page 24. And also, we have some notes up here on the platform that I want, was supposed to be in this, but somehow they weren't included. It's building on Neil Anderson's Steps to Freedom. Jim just covered most of them in that point two. But I felt that you might like to have insights that are uniquely related and yet different from some of the things that Neil has brought out so well in his book. We owe great debt to what God shared with Neil about the steps to freedom. They're tremendously important. But let me just share a few words. What to do when demons manifest. This is becoming an increasing problem. I received a call from a pastor down in Florida some time back, and he said, are you Mark Bubeck? And I said, yes. And he said, well, I have to apologize to you. And I said, well, why would you want to apologize to me? He said, well, so I bought your book at a church conference that I was attending, took it home, and I started to read it. I read about three chapters, and I felt that I hadn't heard anything about this kind of thing before, and I thought you were getting into some deep water. And so he said, I laid it on the shelf saying, this guy's getting into some things that are a little extreme. So he said, I put it on my shelf and didn't look at it again until just this week. He said, I had a lady come in for counseling, and we were just counseling, and I started to pray for her, and all of a sudden she just sort of slithered down out of her chair. And she was writhing around in my office like a serpent. He said, I ran for your book. All of a sudden, he needed some help. And he was saying how much God had been teaching him about how to approach this kind of thing. Now, I believe we're entering into a time where this is going to become very, very pronounced. I don't claim to be a prophet, but I think I have some insights into what's happening in our culture. And I don't believe you can live in a culture that's giving itself to violence like our culture is, to occultism, to sexual perversion and promiscuity. But what people by the multitudes are opening their lives to demons, and they're being demonized. This is going to come home to the church, is already. Many are still refusing to recognize it and sending them off to the secular psychiatrist when what they really need is spiritual help. But we need to be equipped and to equip pastors. I think it's very important to protect your services, speaking now mainly to pastors, to preclude this kind of outburst in your services. I think that's going to become more and more obvious as this thing comes to full harvest. Don't panic when that happens. But I think it's better to preclude it by your prayer life, preparatory prayer, protective prayer. The last number of years I pastored, I would always pray, and I still do. Every time we're going to have a service, I said, Lord, you know, demons are going to try to come to our service, possibly through people that they control. And I just ask you to set a special watch at the door. See, that doesn't happen. In fact, for their relief, so they can worship without the torments. Just appreciate it, Lord, if you would guarantee that they couldn't come within 500 feet of where we worship. I believe we have that authority. And ask for protective angels to be present. And then don't panic. If some outburst happens, remember, you're in charge of all of that sort of thing. They're not in charge. God's servants have the authority, and we need to communicate that. Of course, to people that we minister to who are demonized. And then it's very, very important, I think, that more and more of us gather around us a group of spiritual leaders that understand what the battle's all about and will be prepared to step in to help people, especially in troubled meetings. And if that happens, don't try to have them thrown out. I made a mistake just once doing that in a situation. I didn't really author the attempt to get them to leave. That was a couple ushers who thought they were going to help the service. They almost created disaster. And what's more, the demons were trying to turn it on me. And I just quietly said to the man, "Can you just hold on to it? I'll be glad to counsel you afterwards." And that quieted him down, and he patiently waited. So assure the afflicted person that follow-through will be provided. That's so important. Now, supposing you're in a counseling session and manifestations come. I think point one there, A, do not rush to confrontation and eviction steps. This is something that many of us who were in spiritual warfare had to learn. One of the first things we would always do if a demon came on manifestation, we'd say, "Now, what's your name?" We go right after him. But once you begin to understand how demons work, you know that that's just exactly what they want. They want to distract you. They want to keep you from helping the person do what Jim just described, where you lead the person through a process where they are able to renounce those ways in which they gave the enemy open door opportunity to rule them. And once you take them through those steps very, very carefully, they're well on their way to freedom. And so don't rush to confrontation. I think that's very important. One of the things we found back in those days was that even though we'd get rid of demons, that they'd soon be under demonic trouble again. And that used to puzzle me because it was obvious they got rid of them. And they went where the Lord Jesus Christ sends them, where they don't come back. But what we weren't accounting for, that the conduct in the life of the believer was still leaving a wide open door. And so the kingdom of darkness seems to have limitless reserves, and the person was soon back in demonic control. So we do need to be very careful that we don't rush to the confrontation. I think it's better just to keep them subdued while you're working with them. If the demons try to manifest, we just say, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't do that. You can't interfere. You can't block this person dealing with what gives you ground. Now I subdue you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." And you retreat. And they just have to do it. Please don't think that's because I have some special authority you don't have. That's the believer's authority. And you just need to boldly do it. Keep them under control. And keep them conscious. Don't allow wicked spirits to put them into a trance. Just forbid him to do that. Never forget the first person I tried to lead to Christ, who is obviously deeply demonized, and we never deal with anyone who is demonized until we lead them to Christ. We don't try to deal with the demons. Well, I was dealing with this dear young woman who, when she first came to our church, when she started to go in the front door, these demons were screaming, "Don't go in there, don't go in there." Well, she told me that when she left that morning. And I said, "Well, you probably should make an appointment and come," and she did. And I'll never forget when I was taking her through the plan of salvation. And she was just tracking with me beautifully. And all of a sudden, she was just gone. She was in a trance. Well, that's the first time that had happened, but I just said, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't do that to Mary. She has every right to make a decision for Christ. God has given her that right, and you just step aside." Boy, she was back 100%, just like that. Had to do that about three times before she finally was able to make her decision for Christ. So it's very, very important to insist that they have every right to remain conscious through the whole process that you're dealing with. Then help the counselee to recognize and deal with the areas that led to the demonization. Jim has dealt with that. We use confidential information forms that are so helpful. I haven't looked, but I think there's some of those in the notes. Just basic things where they, in confidence, will share with you about their family relationships, about their home life, their attitude toward mom and dad, attitude toward a husband, brothers and sisters. It's amazing. If you just take time to walk them through those things and let them talk, what it will reveal to them about themselves, and open doors of understanding. Also, be sure that they're saved. Don't just take that for granted. I always use the two questions from the Coral Ridge ministry. If you come to the place in your spiritual life where you know for certain that if you were to die, you'd go to heaven. And it's amazing how many folk will say yes on that. But when you ask them the second question, if you should die and stand before the Lord, and he were to say, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" what would you say? And they will come up sometimes with the strangest answers. Most of them works-oriented. When that happens, just very kindly and calmly help them to understand what it is to put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. And I'll never forget one time up in Minnesota when that happened. The person that I asked those questions to had a total works answer. And yet, she was so ready. It's like picking ripe fruit. And when she opened her heart to Christ and just quietly wept her way in repentance to the Lord, it was so beautiful. We walked out of the office, and the pastor's there in his home. And the pastor and his wife said, "What happened to you?" Well, the only thing that happened, she'd become a Christian. And she'd been baptized. She'd taught in Sunday school. But somehow Satan had kept her from understanding the simplicity of grace and just trusting Christ alone for eternal life. It's so good to lead them, help them to come to a place where they have assurance. Then lead them through basic biblical teaching about their relationship to the world and the flesh and the devil. We've got some sessions on that in this conference, and I'll be teaching on it later this afternoon. I just find that absolutely necessary. So many folk blame the devil for everything when really it's basically a flesh problem. They need to understand that. They need to know how to overcome it, how to live in their freedom. And unless they know that, they're going to get back in trouble anyway. So why should you go ahead and try to deal with demons? You just have to teach them the basics so they understand how to apply their victory over the flesh and over Satan. And then shepherding them through the steps to freedom. We have enough, I believe, that we made up that didn't get put in your books of what I use right up here in this box. And I think we have enough for everyone who got one of the major books. So if you got one of these, you feel free to come up and take one of these. Simply gives the approach that I use in leading people through. Really, most of what Jim was talking about, we all have just a little different way that we deal with the same basic issues. And so it's really important to have a plan of how you're going to do this, because you need to close the doors so that the folk will go away knowing how to fight their own fight and to stand in their freedom. Now the last one, eviction of wicked spirits from the control of the counselee. Include at the conclusion of each step to freedom a renunciation and eviction of the controlling wicked spirits. Now we always do this, and by the way, this is in the notes, by letting the person do it himself. You just word it and then let the person state it. And I get so blessed many times when we do that, because the counselee really gets into it. They've wanted so long to just come against the powers of darkness, but they didn't know how to do it. Now somebody's helping them. And I just kind of, you know, quietly stated, but they don't do that. They got a club in their hand against the enemy. They're very angry at wicked spirits that have tormented them and troubled them. And so they'll say it with great vehemence. Then when watch for disruptive manifestations, we already touched on that, and their takeover attempts. Keep demons subdued and refuse any interference. Watch for MPD problem. I think that's so important to state right here. Because of the prominence of satanic ritual abuse, as well as sexual abuse by a parent that may not have had anything to do with satanic ritual abuse. One of the ways in which many people cope with that is they disassociate, where the person who had to endure that is a different person from the one that functions in the normal things of life. And the conscious person sometimes doesn't even know that happened. And so it's not unusual for alters to develop. The real tragedy is that sometimes these alters are demonized. And there are sessions dealing with that in this conference. But I just want to say to you, don't assume always that what seems to be totally different from the person, the core person, is a demon. Conceivably could be an alter. Sometimes it's difficult to discern that, and we all need great wisdom to ask the Lord to help us to recognize that and to be able to deal with the alter. But I'm amazed at how counselors are able to deal with that who haven't had any experience. I'm so thrilled to have on our staff now Glenn Littrell. Glenn sent a dear person that he'd been counseling with that had this problem, and he had had no experience in it. But just through godly prayer and faithfulness, he learned to deal with it. And he sent this person just to see whether or not he was doing all right. And I was just amazed how wonderfully he had done. So don't think that you can't handle this. Just be sensitive to it, aware that it might be there, and that if it is, you don't want to insult that altar as though it were a demon. It's a segmented part of that person that through this strange process of dissociation has been able to segment. And sometimes that part is really hurting. Just needs somebody to be loving and kind and patient and to help them get free of demons. And that, of course, is one of the real joys of ministry, to see people. I hope you didn't misunderstand what Jim was saying about some of the Christian counseling organizations where they have, we've had to try to help people that they sort of gave up on. We recognize they do so much good, and we're glad for those places. And that many of them now are beginning to understand a little about spiritual warfare. And we're grateful for all the help God's giving with the immensity of the problem. But unless people understand the spiritual dimension, you will never help a demonized person with secular psychology or secular psychology approaches. Just won't work. And so you're going to have to do it, or somebody does. We're glad that more and more of them are beginning to seek spiritual answers and spiritual truth. Involve the person by helping the counselee issue the renunciations. I've already mentioned that. Now, the last thought, and our time is just about gone, include a roundup conclusion of the Steps to Freedom sessions with a doctrinal, carefully worded eviction process. Now, you have in your hands the first time I ever attempted to put this down in writing, and it's sort of at the request of a number of people that I've attempted to do this. And I don't claim that this is the necessarily the best way to do it. I'm still learning, but I find it very, very helpful. At the close of taking someone through the kind of steps that Jim has described and the Steps to Freedom, which you'll pick up here and out of this box at the conclusion, to have sort of a conclusion to it, and to use some sort of roundup procedure. And it's on page 26 and 27. And just recognizing some basic biblical doctrine of truth concerning the authority of the believer over the kingdom of darkness, concerning the presence of Christ with us, who never leaves us and never forsakes us. And all those demons know his presence. They really do. And sometimes the demonized person knows his presence. They'll even say, I've had them say to me, I saw him, he was right beside you. And, well, I didn't see him. I didn't need to see him. I knew he was there because he said he would be there. And so we just honor his presence. Honor the fact that he has total authority over all the kingdom of darkness. And once the ground is taken away, there's no reason for the troubling to go on. And so we just have sort of a roundup system of renouncing any control over the mind on the conscious, subconscious, unconscious level, asking the Holy Spirit to evict any powers of darkness away from the mind, and then that he would take full control of the thought processes, to look all through the will the same way, all through the emotions the same way, and even all through the body. Because God meant the Christian's body to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so you just invite the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do, to have control of the person's physical body, to be presented to God as a living sacrifice, a body that God has made holy by redemption, a body that God is glad to have as a living sacrifice, acceptable to him. That's a part of the believer's spiritual worship. So this roundup procedure is just building on that doctrinal truth. I wish I could tell you how many times after we've gone through the steps to freedom, then we have this roundup. The person is just so transformed, so free. Sometimes they'll say, I've never felt so free. I didn't know it was possible. I'm almost afraid to leave. Prefer I'll lose it. And you understand that. They've had so much difficulty. But just assure them that they're armed with all they need in their union with Christ to stand in their freedom. We always assure them if they want to come back, they can. And we'll be glad to make an appointment so they can come back again. And that's always helpful to people. So we're just glad that you're here, and you wouldn't be here if you weren't ready. At least you're getting ready. When demons manifest, to not be frightened, but to be biblically helpful. One of our cornerstones of what we build on is balance, not quick fix. We're not in the kind of work that, casts out demons and pronounces people free now. We don't believe that's the way to work with Christians. Christians are to learn to apply their freedom, to walk in their liberty that belongs to them. Unless they learn that, they'll be back in trouble. So teach it to them and help them to learn it. Let's pray. Precious Lord, thank you again that you've made us more than conquerors through him that loved us. We don't have to be fearful. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us all that we need to be strong, of good courage, to be bold, and to know that it's not presumption, it's position, it's union with Christ, it's recognizing that you are totally in charge. You're the one who has vanquished darkness and shared that victory with us. So give us wisdom to help people to claim it. In Jesus' name, amen.